and welcome to Under the Dome, the State Journal Register's podcast about Illinois politics and government. I'm Bernie Schoenberg, political writer. Doug Finke, our State House Bureau person forever, is here with me, thank goodness. Angie Muse, our executive editor, is off doing executive editor things today. Anyway, Doug, a lot of state employees listen to this show, but other people are interested in state government, and there was a 4th District Appellate Court ruling about the ongoing disagreements between the administration of Governor Bruce Rauner and AFSCME, which represents about 35,000 state workers, and the contract that has that ran out in the middle of 2015. Tell us about where we are.
Where we are is nowhere towards resolving this thing, apparently, at this point. The main issue in the contract talks is whether or not the two sides are at impasse. And back in January of 2016, the Rauner administration said, that's it, the talks are at impasse, broke them off. The significance of that is when you're at impasse, that lets the employer basically dictate the terms of the contract. AFSCME has insisted all along that, no, we have been making progress, we were making progress, there's no reason to go to impasse. Well, the administration declared this in January of 2016. The State Labor Relations Board, after several more weeks of hearing and testimony, agreed and said that, yes, the two sides are at impasse. AFSCME took that to court to block it, and it worked its way to the appellate court, which this last week issued its opinion, which AFSCME took as a victory, and to a certain degree it is, but it's not a slam dunk. And I hope listeners bear with us because things get a little complicated with this stuff, but the appellate court said that since 1967, the Labor Relations Board had used something called the Taft Standards, T-A-F-T, to determine whether an impasse occurs. And that requires them to look at several factors, such as how long the talks have been going on, that sort of thing, and then make a determination. They did not use that standard when they decided that AFSCME and the state were at an impasse. They used a single factor, saying they couldn't agree on outsourcing or subcontracting or outsourcing jobs, and because of that, the whole thing was at an impasse. And the appellate court basically agreed with AFSCME that, you know, if you are going to change from the standard that you've had in place for decades, you got to explain what you're doing and why it's justified. And that's basically what they did, was send it back to the Labor Relations Board with two different options. Either one, explain exactly why you're doing it this way, or two, use the standards that you've been using for decades and then determine whether there's an impasse. So my reading is the Labor Relations Board could still determine there's an impasse going on, but it's going to take some additional time for this to get resolved.
Interesting. And I know your story said that the governor's administration indicated they might appeal this up. Instead of going back to the Labor Relations Board, might appeal it up to the state Supreme Court. Is there an indication of that yet?
We have not gotten that indication yet.
Okay. And because of this impasse situation, the governor, has he been able to impose terms, or has he not?
No.
Of this pending lawsuit all these 3 years since the contract expired?
Right. No, they got the court to say that we have to maintain the status quo until we resolve this issue. The other part of this that's going to be kind of interesting is there's a whole other case involving step increases that AFSCME employees have not gotten. And one of the issues in that is how much the state actually owes. And the state contends they only owe the money up until January 2016 when they declared an impasse. Well, now this whole issue of whether or not they're at impasse may come back and further delay that.
And maybe cost the state tens of millions more, which would be good for the employees to get the full back pay they think they deserve, right?
Or
step increases, right.
And newer
employees.
I periodically get calls from state employees, you know, when are we going to get this? When are we going to get this? Well, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows at this
point. Well, in the meantime, and I guess it's hard to guess what happens with courts, but we do have an election coming up November 6th and then a inauguration of the next governor, which could be the current governor, or the likelihood, despite the fact there's four candidates, it's either going to be Governor Rauner or J.B. Pritzker, and that would be in January. So maybe that whole thing will not be resolved by that time, correct?
I would think it's not going to be resolved by Election Day, certainly. And, you know, if we have a new governor, who knows what direction this whole thing could take.
Okay. Well, speaking of the governor's race, There are a lot of ads on commercial TV and on Facebook and other places, if you've noticed, but particularly the TV ads. One of them kind of broke through the clutter this week. It was one put on by the Rauner campaign. It was a mock-up of a marriage. You see the two men getting married to each other from behind, and you see the clergyman with the black robe, and that's the face of the ad. Supposedly, he is marrying Mike Madigan to J.B. Pritzker. And this caused some consternation. The ad also ends with the clergyman saying, basically, it's called an unholy union. And the clergyman's basically saying, you know, do you promise to, you know, basically self-dealing? It's the negative things that Governor Rauner says Madigan and Pritzker do. And at the end, the clergyman says that I now pronounce Illinois, and he uses a bad word.
It wasn't like little Ralphie in Christmas Story saying fudge.
No. Yes. It is bleeped out, but at least in the initial version of the ad that we saw and I know has run on television, it was the F word, and you could clearly say it. Apparently, just in the last day, Capital Facts was reporting some, I guess, in St. Louis, there is a station or two where people were objecting to that, and so the campaign sent them an ad where they hazed out the face of the preacher or the mouth so you couldn't actually see the word as clearly as we were able to see it in the first place. So the couple of issues here is a gay rights group, Equality Illinois, came out and said, even though Governor Rauner is clearly for same-sex marriage, this makes fun of and minimizes the importance of same-sex marriage, and that's terrible. Governor Rauner said, no, I didn't mean to do that. I'm just saying Pritzker and Madigan are a bad team. And then as far as the bad word, I guess it depends what people think of that kind of language at a time when trying to have civil discourse is something being talked about. Any thoughts, Doug?
Well, I mean, you and I have both seen a lot of ads over the years. I don't recall any ad that ever ventured into this kind of territory before as far as mouthing and obscenity as part of the ad. And there are people who have complained about it, you know, just regular citizens, but I thought it was also interesting. The Champaign News Gazette, which endorsed Rauner for re-election, had an editorial which was highly critical of this ad and the fact that they thought it was plumbing depths that were unnecessary.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, even when I was a college journalist in the 70s at the Daily Illini in Champaign, and somebody on the sports staff wrote something that was a little bit profane, not even a bad word like that, just kind of an indication of something when they had a disagreement with Cecil Coleman, the athletic director. And I remember having an argument at the paper. We're a family paper, even though we're a college paper. I mean, you shouldn't say profane things in the paper. And I kind of viscerally object when a political leader would use a term like that, even to break through the clutter, and for what purpose. So it's hard to say, but it is an odd and interesting bridge. And I don't know what good it does. I talked to Chris Mooney. He used to live in Springfield. He's a political science professor who kind of has a network of people all across the country who study state politics. He started a state politics magazine or organization. And he said he sent out this ad when it came out digitally to hundreds of his colleagues, and within an hour he got dozens of responses saying this thing is way over the line and probably won't do any good for the guy who's doing it. So it's getting notice, apparently with the polls, the governor got lots of news stories about it. Does it help? I don't know.
I don't know if it does either. I think it's just a continuation. He's basically said this thing in nicer terms repeatedly, that you know, it's going to be disastrous for the state if Pritzker gets elected, and it's doomsday or something to that effect. I mean, he's basically...
Turn out the lights.
He's repeated this theme often in the last few months of the campaign, but clearly this is going a step further than most people expected.
Oddly, the governor was on radio station in Springfield with talk show host Sam Madonia just 2 days after this ad came out. And this is then after there was the bomb scares with pipe bombs. Luckily, as we tape this, none has gone off, but sent to many Democratic officials. And he was asked for his view of that, and he said, you know, we really need more civility in our politics. And this is 2 days after he came out with the ad with this bad word in it. So I somehow there was no follow-up question on that. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, people say a lot of things and then contradict themselves within a short period of time. And
We should perhaps mention J.B. Pritzker. He's done a couple of things. There is the Democratic candidate continues. The fallout seems to have fallen off a bit about the 10 members of his staff who filed a federal lawsuit just in the last couple of weeks saying that there was a racist atmosphere within the campaign. Pritzker has fought back against that. So has his African-American woman running mate, Juliana Stratton. In the meantime, and some of the, there are some holes in the story, which we discussed last week, but Pritzker
And that's another interesting thing about the Rauner ad is that it effectively diverted attention from all that stuff, and the now point. We've got something new to talk about.
We do indeed. Well, Pritzker also added another $15 million. He's over, it was at least $164 million when I wrote this note. Maybe it's more than that. It's kind of an amazing record-setting amount of money. He also put out, sometimes they don't just do TV ads, they do ads online, and I know you have an opinion, Doug, about the ad where the Pritzker people were making fun of the governor, saying baloney to a lot of things, and then the Pritzker ad also showed a lot of headlines where they think, while the governor calls things baloney, people are questioning his statements along the way. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought was just, if you saw this thing, the headlines come on that are purportedly have people calling baloney on Rauner for various things. But they come on at various parts of the screen, and they're there only for a short period of time, and maybe it's because of my advanced years, but I had difficulty reading them, and maybe I just question how effective the ad was in the end. I know the point they were trying to make. It was kind of cute that they did this on National Baloney Day when, incidentally, Baloney
the, is the meat.
Is different than baloney as used as a pejorative.
As a false statement, and yeah. It's spelled differently too.
But nonetheless, yeah. I just, okay, fine.
Understood. Understood. And perhaps if they would convert, I think given that it was National Baloney Day, it's probably too insiderish for them to make a TV ad out of this one. But, you know, they do have basically unlimited money to spend, so they can put together
That, yes.
Let's see. Sam McCann, the conservative candidate, he has he's, of course, the state senator from Macoupin County, who is pro-labor but very conservative in his social issues. And he issued an ad late in the week. Again, virtually all of his money is coming from Local 150 of Operating Engineers Union and related groups with that union, and kind of a pro-union side group that is also associated with that union. And they've given him, I know it's more than $1 million and it might be more, but he put out a very, very strong ad talking about his conservative credentials and trying to set himself apart from Governor Rauner, who has not cozied up to President Trump very often. And the McCann ad it starts out with President Trump talking about we're going to fix the carnage in America, as in, you know, the liberals and the outsiders are overrunning us. There's a narrator on that one that says, our nation is being overrun by illegals and our values are being attacked by extremist liberals. You know, and they've got pictures of, you know, people fighting in the streets and things like that. So McCann, who is certainly under attack in certain quarters for really being helping J.B. Pritzker on the sly by taking votes away from Rauner, is really going for that very conservative base. Any idea if that works? As President Trump was on his way this weekend to Southern Illinois, Murfreesboro, for an event in Mike Bost's district, the congressman, former state representative, to shore up that race, where Bost has seemed to move ahead of his opponent. But President Trump is going to make that one of his stops.
I suspect that ad would work with the kind of people, the conservatives that McCann is trying to appeal to. It would reinforce, I think, their opinions of him as the true conservative in the race and not Rauner. Whether that is going to attract anyone else, or if it's even intended to attract anyone else, I guess is debatable. But certainly, I don't think it hurts his standing with the conservatives he's trying to appeal to.
Yeah, I guess one thing that we can all guess before the election is, will Sam McCann get 5% of the vote? Because under Illinois law, if you get 5% of the vote, you become an established party.
Right.
Therefore, in the next election cycle, and if you're a candidate for governor, it affects the entire ballot. If he got 5%, that means people all over the state could file as conservative party candidates 2 years from now and run for the state legislature and only have the same petition requirements that Democrats and Republicans have. Because right now the system is set up, Democrats and Republicans, for example, to run statewide for something like governor or senator need 5,000 valid signatures. But a third party candidate, who also doesn't have to go through a primary, but one of the barriers is they have to collect five times that, 25,000 signatures. So I guess I don't know if any polling is showing Sam McCann over 5%. I don't think it is, but this is just another aspect of this race that could get interesting if he gets any traction at all toward the end.
And we, those of us who've been around long enough, would know what happened with the Illinois Solidarity Party when it was created. And it was around for several years after that.
Yeah, after 1986, when Adlai Stevenson III had to form that party because some LaRouche backers won Democratic primaries and they had to distance themselves from those people.
And as I recall, it attracted a certain number of fringe type candidates to run under that banner because they could. If you create a party like this and it gets enough votes, the fallout from it could last for some time.
And then more recently, Rich Whitney from Southern Illinois ran as a Green Party candidate and did get about 10% in one election. And so that party was an official party of Illinois. But again, it only lasted for about a cycle or two, and then it faded away. So we're still a pretty strong two-party state. We'll see where that goes. As long as we're talking about candidates for governor, we should also mention Libertarian Cash Jackson, who has very low level of funding, but there is a very conservative state representative from the suburbs, Alan Skillicorn of East Dundee, who came out and endorsed Cash Jackson. So that's showing the difficulty of the Republican base at this point.
It seems a little bit, I don't know if splintered is too strong a word, but it's going in different directions, it seems, at the same time.
Right. I could just mention, before we go, the race for Attorney General looks interesting. Erica Harrell, the Republican from Champaign-Urbana, is running against Kwame Raoul, the state senator from Chicago, the Democrat. Erica Harrell, Harvard law graduate and Miss America 2003. Kwame Raoul replaced Barack Obama in the Senate. Some polling is showing that race tightening. Erica Harrell actually cut an ad started running an ad just within the last couple of days, saying if J.B. Pritzker wins and Mike Madigan is still in power, I'll be there to be the Republican check on that unified power base. That is an interesting message because she has gotten significant funding from the governor and is basically doing an ad saying the governor might not win. It's an odd thing, but it also shows how close that race is and how she's looking perhaps to reach into the independents and maybe even some Democrats who think divided government is a good thing, at least to some extent.
I've heard that from a number of people that she may in fact benefit from the fact that if Pritzker is elected and if there are people out there who think, as you just said, that Illinois works better with a divided government rather than one party holding all the offices, that she could in fact benefit from that and could upset Kwame Raoul. I say upset because he's been considered, I guess, the front runner in that race for some time.
Yeah, and obviously they have significant policy differences, and Kwame Raoul has been running a lot of ads on policies that Erica Harrell expressed in part when she was running against Rodney Davis in a congressional primary in 2014. She's pro-life on abortion. At that time, she was not, for same-sex marriage. It is now, of course, the law of the land. She says, as Attorney General, she will just enforce the laws that are there. Kwame Raoul says, but we have all these other things to take on, and we have to take on President Trump. And, he's clearly more the Democratic side in a Democratic state. But she presents herself well in her ads, and he is trying to do this as well and saying he's just getting started with the things he has done, including prison reform and and a lot of legal experience. So an interesting and good race. We will leave it there for now. That'll do it for this week's episode of Under the Dome. We'll be back next week as we get really close to the election. Until then, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. On behalf of Doug Finke and myself, Bernie Schoenberg, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.